Welcome to Ask an Innovator, where we interview senior executives about innovation. You can find us at askaninnovator.com or subscribe with your favorite podcast app. I'm your host, Josh Barker, CEO of City Innovation Labs.
I'm here talking with Melissa Byrne. She is the Director of Innovation at the Polsky Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation at the University of Chicago.
Yes.
So, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love a little bit more background about what you do and, you know, what you've done, and even the Polsky Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation. I'd love a little bit of background about that.
Sure. So my role at the Polsky Center, as you mentioned, Director of Innovation Programs. So I'm thinking a lot about for our university constituents, so our faculty, students, alumni, how do we provide training, education programs that help them build out their innovation skill set? We think a lot about what they need for those people who want to be entrepreneurs. What kind of programming or experiential learning opportunities do we create to help them have those experiences and build that skill set before they launch? And for people who don't identify as an entrepreneur, which is many of us, we're also thinking about this as a valuable tool set. So thinking innovatively is important, whether you work for a large organization, for an academic institution. And so we try to bring in experts who can teach on particular topics that we think are relevant to those missions.
Sure.
Yeah.
And, and you're an entrepreneur yourself.
I am. I've got a side hustle going on right now. So I'm both teaching other people how to be an entrepreneur and learning how to be an entrepreneur right now.
That's the best place to be. You're both worlds.
Exactly.
That's good.
Every day it's on my mind from sort of two perspectives.
Oh, so that's very interesting, I bet.
It's a very interesting place to be.
Yeah.
So to watch teams or people go through entrepreneurial experiences, lessons learned, and to sort of also be like, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Do you ever get into a situation where you get a question asked and you're like, well, I'm still trying to figure that out too?
Oh, totally.
I do as well.
Absolutely. And so as a center, we have a lot of students and faculty that, you know, we're meant to sort of be a place where you can come and get support and resources. And so I think of myself as a liaison for them to those resources rather than, you know, we are not the experts in their space or in their domain. And so it's more of being a connector and figuring out, you know, how we help them problem solve. But it is very common that I am simultaneously wondering the same question myself.
Let me quick think about that for a minute.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's good. So how does Melissa define innovation? And is that different than the Polsky Center? Is that different than, because you've got two or three different universes going on here. How would you define innovation?
For me, as Melissa, as opposed to, you know, as a center, I think about innovation as, I think, a combination of creativity and identification of opportunities to improve something. So I think a lot about innovation as an employee, as, you know, a human in the world. So whenever we have problems, which we all have, we're trying to problem solve them. And to me, innovation is going through the exercise of breaking that down and really thinking about how you could solve it and ways of solving it. I think when we think about things that are innovative, we're typically trying to describe something that's new or different. Mm. But I think innovation in and of itself is more about just pushing through those barriers and trying new methods.
Yeah, that's good. And how, now maybe you can explain a little bit about your side hustle, because that'll correlate, I'm sure, very nicely with how you're innovating, mm-hmm. On your side hustle.
So. Sure. Yeah. So I'm the entrepreneur for a software company that right now is focused in the clinical research space. So my career before the Polsky Center, I worked in drug, device, and biologics development. And so I got to really understand the industry where we're trying to bring, you know, medical products to the market, and spent many years looking at that from a regulatory perspective, also from a operations perspective. So in a hospital, how do you test these products on patients? How do you create the infrastructure to do that in a hospital space? How do we think about someone that is both a patient and a clinical trial participant? And so I got to know that world quite well. And through that, I think like many entrepreneurs, when you are really familiar with systems, processes, you know, approaches to problems, you can identify over time ways of thinking innovatively about solving problems. And so in that particular space, recently there's this fusion of lots of really exciting technology like electronic health records that are changing the way hospitals operate, patients interact with the health system, and clinical research, which is also a fusion of hospital operations and research, is lagging, I think, behind in that innovation space. And so we have new electronic health records and we're still solving research problems in the same way we did, you know, 15 years ago. And so through just my intimate work in that space, I began thinking about ways of solving some of those problems. I was simultaneously in a biomedical informatics program, trying to train myself how to understand data, computer science, systems, interoperability. And so the training and understanding of that in a more specific manner allowed me to then come up with an interesting solution to one of the problems that I had seen in my day-to-day work.
That's really cool. Now, what is that solution?
So it is
pitch.
Yeah, exactly. That's right. The product is called Foreseeable.
Okay.
It is a automated system that identifies the appropriate payer for every test, procedure, and operation that a patient is undergoing while on a clinical trial. So one of the little known facts about clinical research is that a lot of the things that a patient is undergoing while they're on a trial are actually things that they would be doing or undergoing even if they weren't on the trial. So if a patient has heart failure, we see them at a certain regular interval. Right. You know, they get things like EKGs and echocardiograms at certain intervals. And when they're on a research study, a lot of times we're overlapping the research data we're trying to collect or the device we're testing or the drug we're testing over that regular care, which then creates an interesting challenge, which is when they're in to see their doctor tomorrow and they have all these tests done, is that a research test or is that a standard of care test? And we need to know the answer to that so that we bill it correctly. And so this right now is extremely manual. It's very error prone because it relies on humans to sort of understand all the nuances of the study and of the patient's care. And so the software that I've designed is meant to automate and help with that decision-making process. So it's a really focused on sort of like streamlining efficiency, reduction of, you know, human error, reduction of duplicate data entry. Someone once told me it was the least sexy idea they've ever heard.
Hey, I mean, those are the great ideas, though, that we were just talking about before this started. The ones that are seemingly boring, right? They're mm-hmm. sleepy. Mm-hmm. Those are the industries that really could use a lot of innovation. So
it's pretty niche, but it's certainly, you know, I've done a lot of customer discovery. That's one of the things I feel really passionately about when I teach other entrepreneurs or other innovators. And I've done a lot of that. And I feel very confident that this is, you know, a pain point and that we have the value proposition to solve it. And so now my task is bringing that to life.
Oh, yeah. Walk me through a little bit about your customer discovery process.
Yeah.
I'm interested.
Yeah. I took advantage of one of the programs that the Polsky Center offers. It is through the National Science Foundation. It's called I-Core.
Okay.
It is a program that is all about getting scientists, researchers out of their lab space and out into the world to talk to potential customers. And so it's a program that at the Polsky Center runs 7 weeks. There are other site programs across the country that run this similar program also on behalf of the NSF. And it really trains you how to think about talking to people to validate, do you have this problem? How are you solving it? You know, and you're really trying to test your core assumptions as a method of de-risking your idea or technology really early on. And so for me, that was really transformative in making sure that I wasn't solving a problem based on just the organizations where I worked or just my perspective on that problem. And so I went out, you know, across the United States and I talked to all, you know, pharmaceutical companies, contract research organizations who are sometimes a middle person in this, many hospital systems to understand, you know, is this a pain point? How significant is it? How are you solving it? What don't you like about the way you're solving it? And so what you're trying to really test out is, you know, are they validating the core assumptions about why you think you have a great product?
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was great.
Are you following like a lean startup methodology and getting out of the building and all that
stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they use Business Model Canvas as a tool. And so that's also really helpful for those of us like myself who don't have a business background or, you know, aren't sort of seasoned entrepreneurs. It begins to really easily help you understand all the components that you have to think about when you're thinking about an idea as a business. So it uses that framework. That program focuses on the customer segments and the value propositions. So really lining up those two things. They run this program also at the national level, and then they do more across the business model canvas. It's a really interesting program, and for me was extremely valuable in making me feel comfortable progressing past the idea stage, right?
Yeah.
So I'm, you know, fairly risk averse, which is not always great for being an entrepreneur. But to me, programs like that help you de-risk it are extremely valuable.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, that was one of the hard lessons I had to learn in my past of going through a ton of failed startups that you a lot of times you just have this great idea. You're like, oh, this is a great idea. I should do this and this huge need. And then you just don't go validate anything.
Right.
And you go like, you want to go build.
Yeah.
You just go right to building. Yeah. It's awesome to hear that you started instead with customer discovery. And validated before you started.
That was
building.
Literally the first thing I did. So I mocked up this system for my graduate master's thesis and presented it to people. And at that point, it was really just, you know, inputs, outputs, how would the data flow, how would the workflow work? And I did it off of three organizations that I knew. And I presented it back to a committee and people looked at me and said, go build that. Like, you've got something here. And I said, what does that mean? How would I build it? I don't understand.
Yeah.
And so they directed me to the Polsky Center at the University of Chicago. And that's the first program that I went through. So I think like 3 weeks later, I went and started that program. And so for me, it felt like a very natural progression. But now that I work for the Polsky Center and see more entrepreneurs, what I see is that is very uncommon.
Yes.
And that it is much more common that people get excited about an idea, go build it, maybe launch something, and then they're confused why they can't grow or scale.
Yes.
And we're like, come on back to the customer.
Yes. Your background, I mean, you don't have any, you were mentioning any like software engineering background, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that you kind of came with, which is, I think, is an advantage because my background is software engineering. And I think us software engineers go, I can build that, right?
Oh,
and it's like,
sure.
And we just go right to building and we'll spend hours and hours and hours building something that no one wants. It's cool that you didn't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then I have the challenge, though, of building out the team, right?
That's true. It's the inverse, right?
Yeah. So every person that's trying to bring something to life has the challenge of how do you find the people you need to help you execute on that vision.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so we all have our advantages, and then you need to find someone who has some advantage you don't have.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So what stage are you in right now with this?
We are in product development phase, I would say.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've been talking about this idea now in my graduate work and then in iCore for a long time, and I was very excited to get to the stage where I actually got to go build. So we're building it out, refining it, and hoping to do some beta testing soon and, you know, continue to refine that product.
Nice. So you did end up finding some people to help you build it.
I have slowly but surely found some people to help me build that.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And I've discovered that it's all about sort of, I think, continuing to tell your story to people, which was hard. It's hard for me, and I think it's hard for a lot of entrepreneurs that are not used to selling to keep talking about it. And that is how you find people that share your passion, right? And
want
to work on it with you. So that has been a lesson learned for me over the past year is that, you know, you can't sort of go quiet on it and hope that people find you.
Right.
That you have to sort of continuously be marinating on this vocally to other people. And that's how then you can leverage your network and find people around you.
Oh, yeah. Well, this podcast is an APB for your startup then, right?
Like, yeah.
Put out the bat signal. Yeah. People flood your...
I think so. We should put up my contact information.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to, you know,
if you like this idea.
If it's a good concept, call Melissa.
I'm open to it. Yeah. I'm trying to enjoy the power of a network.
Yeah. And so how do you balance this side hustle? And we were talking about this too, because I was in that position as well. So balancing a side hustle is hard with a full-time job. So how do you, you know, you wear capes, you take off one cape, you put another cape on. And so for the Polsky Center, what does that look like in terms of your day-to-day? Because you're around innovation all day long, right? I mean, you go home, you're at innovation, you're here, you're innovation, you know, so back and forth.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I decided to make a career shift out of, you know, this clinical research area where I had started the innovation over to the Polsky Center was because I believe strongly that it helps to surround yourself with the ideas, concepts, places where you can grow and learn. And I realized I had stopped learning a lot in my old role because I'd done it for long enough. And sure. I was at the point where I'm like, I'm ready to innovate. And you can certainly innovate within your organization. I think there's extreme value in that.
Yeah.
But for me, it felt like moving over to somewhere where innovation was a constant, you know, thought process,
oh, yeah.
effort. There's lots of people coming and going and
osmosis.
You're connecting osmosis that like that would help fuel my thinking and sort of my progress. And it certainly has. It's kind of exhausting because it means that
they kind of catalyze each other.
They catalyze each other and it's exciting.
Yeah.
The side hustle's hard.
It is.
Yeah. I think I've found, you know, I've been doing this for about the last year and I found that there's ebbs and flows for me where I have moments when I can spend, you know, really intense 10 weeks building out, you know, my business and making a lot of progress. And then I need a break, right? And I need to just sort of be in a day job without a side hustle.
Yeah.
It's not that I stop thinking about it, but I can't.
Yeah.
It's hard to maintain that.
It's very hard.
Yeah.
You get burned out.
You get burned out. Totally. And I've experienced that. And I'm still trying to actively figure out, like, how do you keep that healthy balance?
Yeah. Well, that's good. And now speak to me a little bit about the Polsky Center. So then you help other entrepreneurs do similar things to what you're doing, right?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. So it's as a center, it's, you know, university wide, but it's unique in that we serve the university and we also serve the community, which is unique to university entrepreneurship centers. So we are a combination of, you know, incubator and co-working space, as well as educational programming and events that we've already talked a little bit about in terms of what we're trying to do. And we're serving a pretty wide, interesting, dynamic group of people. And so we spend our day to day talking with lots of people who have ideas or have businesses or want to join a team or have interesting technology coming out of their labs and, you know, are trying to make some decisions about, do I license this to an existing company or do I create a startup out of this? So it's a really, I mean, it's just an incredibly exciting place to work because there's nothing more fulfilling than feeling like you're helping people along on their journey.
Yeah.
And sort of connecting them to the right resources. So it's fun. It's fulfilling.
I get this picture in my head of like, I mean, this is probably the wrong premise, so correct me here. It's like, do you walk in and there's people just whiteboarding and you go over and see what they're doing and help them out and go over to this other group that are whiteboarding and help them out? Or how does your day look like in
yeah.
the Polsky Center?
There's a lot of whiteboarding, that's for sure. It's a combination of, I would say, you know, meetings with our team. We have an exceptional team of people who are charged with the same mission as I am of
yeah.
how do we support this community and, you know, continue to grow and adapt. So it's a combination of meetings and strategic planning with like executing events, right? So it's,
yeah.
you know, there's this new role that I'm taking on is running things. We did a healthcare innovation challenge that I conceived with a student group who wanted to do a hackathon, you know, so creating, you know, essentially a 36-hour experience where we brought in patient advocates and hospital administrators and they shared challenges. And we said, you know, come up with an idea for how to better engage patients in the healthcare system. And we had eight teams who turned around these like amazing ideas. Some of them had already, you know, hacked a little bit of a prototype.
Oh, sure.
And so now we're trying to figure out like, okay, we ran that event and that was successful and the people that came enjoyed it. How do we help them continue moving forward, right? So also it's a lot of figuring out like, what does the pipeline look like for getting people from idea stage to launch? So the day-to-day is, you know,
wide ranging. Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds a lot of fun. Yeah. Very, very much variety. It sounds
a lot
like
of variety. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. So what is the next for your startup, for the Polsky Center? It's kind of a dual question here. The next couple of years look mm-hmm. like for you 2 to 3 to 5.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are lots of unknowns there. I think we can never predict the future. The Polsky Center feels easier to predict in that, you know, we're continuing to try to grow and expand and find people who share our mission and want to support our entrepreneurs. And we're thinking about ways of expanding globally. So we have some things happening internationally for our alumni community. I'm thinking a lot about how we'd maybe do a better job of serving our scientific population on campus. So there's, you know, University of Chicago, so many incredible ideas and technology coming out of there. And so I think there's lots of opportunity to figure out how we better support that community and getting those. Everyone wants to share their knowledge with the world, right? That's why we do what we do. So I think I'm excited to think innovatively about how we help them feel supported in that and new mechanisms, you know, whether it is licensing or partnerships or startups. So that's, I think, our focus.
Mm-hmm.
For me and my venture, I would say
$1 billion.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm just going to put Moonshoe, it out there.
We're unicorn, right?
Yeah. I'm excited to, you know, see it in the hands of users. That's sort of my, you know, next
it's always a fun
year
thing.
Goal. Yeah. Is to begin giving it to people and iterating. I need to build a bigger team. So for me, it's continuing to think about how we find the right people and how we figure out who our initial customers are going to be and how we grow that.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. That's good. And for those that are listening, what would you say a learning out of your whole experience has been if you were to bestow it upon someone to say, hey, these are some core things or a thing that really I learned? I mean, you said one already, which is customer discovery, which is a huge one. And maybe that's the drum you're going to beat. But what one thing or a couple things would you say is takeaway for people?
Yeah, customer discovery for sure. I mean, in my job now, that's, you know, I run the iCore program now. And so I get to beat that drum to all the people coming through. And so that's fulfilling to get to see people leverage that opportunity and really understand. I will say that for those who don't have access to that program, that there is a great book you can read, which I actually have on me, not because of this podcast, but because I literally like read this often. And back to it is Talking to Humans.
Talking to Humans.
Yeah.
And the author is?
This is Giff Constable.
Okay.
So this is one of the books that we have students read in the iCore program. And it's just such a simple read. You can get it for free online or you can, you know, purchase it. And it's just all about giving you an actual example. Like, how do you write out your assumptions? We have them.
Yeah.
I don't think we write them out enough.
Right.
And you have to write them out to be able to test them. And then how do you frame up your questions to test the assumptions? So it walks you through that in just like such a simple manner. And I reference it often because there's so many like key tidbits in there that I like to bestow on other people and remember for myself as well. So that's number one. I think number two is I am not what I would have thought of as an entrepreneur by nature. So I never identified with that word. I, you know, that was kind of a yucky word for a while, right? I think that for me, a challenge is how do we help people identify as being entrepreneurial or innovative without the assumptions they may have about what that means.
Right.
And so for me, I'm like what I like to call a reluctant entrepreneur.
Reluctant entrepreneur. Okay.
Meaning that like I have a great idea that I believe in and I'm going to bring it to life, but I struggle to still like identify as, you know, how am I an entrepreneur? You know, I'm just trying to really solve this problem.
Yeah.
And so if people I think relate to that feeling, then I would just encourage them to focus on, you know, going through the tasks they need to bring that idea to life and to not be afraid to talk to people about that. I think a lot of us have ideas and we feel like, oh, maybe they'll be too silly or people will, I don't know, think that they're not special or valuable. But by talking is really, like I mentioned, how you find other people to help you through that journey.
Right.
You know, all of my strongest mentors came from me being willing to tell them about this idea. And now they're such great champions that you're like, I couldn't do this without people believing in me. And you won't find them unless you are willing to share that part of you.
Yeah. Would you say you're an introvert or extrovert?
Probably right in the middle.
Right in the middle.
Yeah.
Okay. So, because I'm asking that question because I'd imagine that applies very, very much so. It doesn't come natural to introverts.
Yeah.
Or maybe people in the middle. The extroverts might be a little bit more, it comes naturally. I can just talk all the time.
Yeah. I think that I'm, like I mentioned, I'm fairly risk averse. I want to plan out things before I execute on them. And those are not always great skill sets as an entrepreneur. And so for me, it's a lot of battling those two sides of myself.
One thing you said in there, though, that really I had to learn out the hard way is sometimes, you know, I'm an idea guy. So the idea guy in me is very sporadic, very like, oh, let's go here. Let's go from A to Y to M to N. But innovation can be very systematized, you know, like customer discovery, like we create a quick MVP, we validate the assumptions, we validate all the different pieces of it. And so it's a lot more experiment, you know, hypothesis experiment based versus random idea based.
Yeah.
So,
and I think people, you know, the two are interwoven in entrepreneurship.
It's true.
For sure.
Yes.
But I think that a lot of people from the outside don't see the systematized method. And so for me, I love processes.
Yes.
Like I love this idea of work.
That's what's gleaning from
me. Yes. We have a hypothesis. We're going to test it. We're going to adapt. For me, I can lean into that hard. And then I have ideas, but I wasn't sort of someone who would just like, if I had an idea, I have to execute on it. Like I got to see that through.
Right.
I just think that the word entrepreneurship, people have different feelings about what that means.
What did you think it was before you became one? Was it like a dirty word for you?
Yeah, like kind of like salesy, you know, someone who's out for a profit.
Gotcha. Like know, a shark.
A shark, yeah. And, you know, the things we see in the media don't necessarily make us feel like it's not that, right?
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
I think that it's, you know, maybe there just wasn't someone that I could relate to. And I think the other thing is I listen to a lot of podcasts, which I love.
Strictly ours, though. No, I'm just
Well,
kidding.
I started with yours and then I expanded. And we hear so many stories of really successful business people. And I could never like they're aspirational and I enjoy listening to them for, you know, future visions of right. myself or, sure. you know, things that you can glean. But it didn't feel relatable.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I hope, you know, we can all work to change is like giving people more exposure to the nitty gritty, those early moments. Yes. How did this actually arise? What did you do to get there?
The grit
that people can relate to.
Yeah.
And I think many more of us have been through that and either failed or succeeded than hearing the success stories.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's the whole iceberg. You see that on a motivation poster.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
Like success.
Yeah. And, it's like in my dentist's office, I'm sure.
Well, Melissa, any last words as we kind of close out the podcast?
Sure. I think that for anyone who can relate to the side hustle or anyone who, you know, has an idea and isn't sure where to go with it or maybe is in the grit that we talked about, I would encourage people to find spaces like an entrepreneurship center or an incubator where you can just begin to surround yourself with people that are going through what you're going through. It's, I think, helpful to be an environment where you can see examples of yourself and other people, both aspirational and, you know, you can commiserate together if needed.
Yes.
Those are also great spaces where external people are trying to connect with entrepreneurs. You know, they want to give back or they want to share what they know or they want to find interesting opportunities. And so I would just encourage people that have an idea or trying to figure out how to bring it to life to find something around them that they can go to and be a part of that has this community of entrepreneurs.
Awesome.
It's been helpful for me. I can say that.
Great
for
advice.
Sure.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thanks for your time, Melissa. I really appreciate it.
Sure. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to Ask an Innovator. Visit us on our website, www.askaninnovator.com. This podcast has been sponsored by City Innovation Labs.